Corinthians chapter 4, so you can turn there in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to be talking about if our gospel be hid. If our gospel be hid. We'll be looking at verses 3 and 4 this morning. That's the text of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But as your pastor made mention of, I did spend 20 years in the military, in the Air Force. My first duty station was Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. I was here as a lost man. But it was here 30-something years ago, actually about close to 40 years ago, that God began to deal and work in my life. I remember I wasn't going to church. My wife tried to get me to go to church. I saw a bunch of hypocrisy in the church. I said, I don't need to go to church and be a hypocrite. I'll just be a heathen. You know? And she would play the different music that she called gospel music. It wasn't gospel at all, but she would play that. And, man, to me, it was depressing. I was like, man, give me the Commodores. Give me something I can, you know, cool in the gang and I can boogie woogie, you know? And so I would get my little son Marcus, man, and I put on some Cool in the Gang or something like that, man. We'd just be bouncing all through the house, you know, acting like a fool. You know, I mean, music. I was into it, man. I was into dancing. I won contests and stuff like that. I was heavily into that sort of stuff. And so she was talking about playing this other music. I was like, man, I can't boogie woogie to that. And I was lost. But I'm going to tell you something. My wife, I love my wife. We had a son, Marcus. He was our firstborn son. And I love me some Marcus Byrd. And I remember on a Sunday, we weren't attending church, but it dawned on me that that little fella that I love, and I love with a passion. When you hear me preach hard, it's because I love hard.
Oh, amen.
And it dawned on me, if that fella dies, you're going to lose it.
Right.
You're going to lose your mind. Because I didn't have any answers.
Right.
I said, if he dies, how are you going to deal with that? And I'm there in our little one-bedroom apartment, 5028B East Baker Street here in Tucson, Arizona. And I'm in that little one-bedroom apartment, and I started talking to God like I'm talking right now. I said, God, I know you exist. That's not the issue. The issue is I don't know anything about you.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, show me the truth. Show me the truth, and I'll do it. I went over to my wife. I said, honey, I just finished talking to God, and God's going to lead us to the right church. We attended. I don't know if the church is still here. It was the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. I think somewhere on the south side. It's been a long while ago, but we had started attending that church, and I'd go to church empty. I'd leave empty. But I knew that there was a truth out there. And by the grace of God, in 1977, the 11th of September, my 911, on the 11th of September, 1977, I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and it changed my life, and it is still changing my life. And so I stand before you this morning as a saved man, a man very serious when it comes to this book. God is serious when it comes to this book. God is serious when it comes to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's serious about your soul. And so this morning, I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to get right into the preaching because that's I know when I'm preaching, I make less mistakes. When I'm singing, I make a bunch of mistakes. And when I'm trying to tell a joke, I really make a mistake. But when I'm preaching the word of God, it's less mistakes, man. I tell you what, good is the word of the Lord. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your pastor. I thank you for the privilege of being here. Really appreciate the number that the choir did and giving the accolades to our great God in heaven. I really appreciated that. I appreciate the spirit in which it was sang and the spirit of this church. And it's just great to be here. It's great to see this church and the mixture of the church and everything. I'll maybe talk a little bit about that tonight. About what we're going to be trying to do over in Charlotte, North Carolina. But I want to preach to you about our gospel. If our gospel be hid, we see that here that is hid from to those who are lost and blind. Notice here And Pastor Dawson, do you have your folks stand here when we read the Word of God? I love doing that. Good is the Word of the Lord. So let us stand and give reverence to God's Word. We do thank God for His precious Word. Don't you know that there are 7,000 languages that don't have the Word of God in their language? 7,000 languages. We ought to be praying, God, please raise up some translators. Maybe there might be some people here that might be good in linguistics. And God could use you to translate the Word of God into at least one of those 7,000 languages that don't even have a word for heaven.
Amen.
Don't even have a word for hell.
That's right, they don't.
They don't have a word for our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
They need to get that. And may God raise up from maybe some young people here. Dear, you devote your life to translate the Word of God into a language that people can get the Word of God. Thank God we have the Word of God in our English language in this old-fashioned King James Bible. And we thank the Lord for that. And thank you for standing and honoring God's Word. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll start at verse 3. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, that is the small g, the God of this world, that is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Get this, which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Amen.
Father in heaven, help us not to, Lord, help us not to be negligent in hiding the gospel from people. Lord, help us to embrace it. Help us to live it and help us to preach it. And may souls who are lost come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to give you three major points this morning about our gospel. About our gospel. First of all, what is our gospel?
Amen.
Number two, what does our gospel do for us? And then number three, why is our gospel hidden? I want to say this morning when the Bible says, Paul says here, he says, but if our gospel be hid, I want to let you know that the gospel that this church has, the gospel that I have, is the right gospel. Amen. It's the right gospel. We got it straight. Amen. Because our gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. We got the right gospel. We got the gospel that saves souls. We have the gospel that not only saves souls, but change lives.
Amen.
You're looking at a man's life who's been changed. My wife can tell you.
Amen.
My wife, she lived with a lost man for almost 5 years.
Amen.
And I lived with a lost woman for about 5 years. We got saved the same day. Amen. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad we got a package deal. Amen. Man, but I tell you what, my wife can tell you what type of man that I was before. I can tell you what type of man that I was before. I'll tell you some of it. I won't tell you all of it because I'm just honest with you. I'm ashamed of what I was like before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you're looking at a man now where God's been working in his life for 38 years. And he's not done. You're not looking at the finished product.
Amen.
God's still working on me.
Yes, he is.
Amen. And I want God to work through me as well. And I want God to work through you too and work on you too. And he will. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. But here, the Bible says, but if our gospel is the right gospel, what is our gospel? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where Paul says in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, where Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what? My Bible says, saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Mary, not these Josephus and Joseph Smith, but how that Christ died for our sins. Not that he just died. A lot of folks died, but only one died for our sins. There was one, only one, who gave the blood atonement for all of our sins, the sins of the whole world. His name is Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you might be saved. His name is Jesus. It would be at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God that he's Lord of all. Amen. How that Christ died for our sins, how do we know? According to the scriptures. And that he was buried, the reason he was buried was because he was dead. There are some of these nuts out there said that Jesus didn't really die. I don't see how you can lose all your blood and not die. My Bible says he died. I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm not going to believe these other nuts out there. Talking about he swooned, he passed out. I said, well, what happened to him afterwards? Well, he was revived. What happened after that then? They didn't have no answers. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day. How do we know? According to the scriptures. And the Bible goes on to say he was seen, and he was seen, of course, the Bible talks about with 500 brethren at one time saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there have been some imitators. You know, they're talking about, I seen Elvis, you know, man. And they're talking about Elvis is the king. He's not my king. And they didn't see no Elvis. They seen an Elvis impersonator. You'll find Elvis's bones if you can find, go to Graceland and pay enough money to get in and see it. But man, I know. Only one rose again from the dead. His name is Jesus. Amen. And so what I'm saying is our gospel is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. Not just that he died, but that he died for our sins. Amen. And that he rose again from the dead. Don't you know the Bible says you got to believe those two things about Jesus in order to be saved? You got to believe that he died for your sins. Not just for the sins of the world, but for yours. That's what happened to me on the 11th of September, 1977, when I was in the pastor's office. Paul Mayfield, he was from heaven. He was from North Carolina. I'm going to heaven before I die. Amen. Hey, I like that. I like it, Brother White, man. You got me hooked on it now.
Amen.
Paul Mayfield was showing me. He said, Willie, you believe that you're a sinner? And I, yes, man, had no problem with that. I knew I was a sinner, and I started naming off some of the light stuff that I did. I didn't get to the heavy stuff.
Amen. That's right.
He said, you believe you're a sinner? I said, yeah, man, all the watermelons I stole. See, I didn't get into the heavy stuff.
That's good.
He said, the Bible says you're a sinner. I believe the Bible. Amen. I looked at it as he said, you know what you get for being a sinner? I go, no. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm looking at that, and he said, according to the Bible, what you get for being a sinner? I thought for a moment. I said, that's why everybody's got to die, because everybody's sin. I said, that means I got to die one day. He said, it means more than that. He took me to Revelation chapter 20. Man, he took me from verse 11. I heard about judgment day. I heard about hell. But now I'm reading about it in the Bible. And when it got to that point, to verse 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Man, that light went fully on. I knew that Watashi, Willie Bird, was on his way to hell. I said, I don't want to go to hell.
That's right, brother. That's right.
He said, I know. That's why you're here. He said, let me show you why. He's got my full attention. He takes me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right. And I read that. It's in the Bible. I believe it's in the Bible. Yes. And then he said, Willie, he says, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? And now, mind you, I know I'm going to hell.
Amen.
No doubt about it. I'm going to hell. I'm like, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He said, I didn't ask you that. I said, yes, you did. He said, no, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. He said, no, I did. I said, well, what did you ask me? He said, I asked you if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you for Willie. Man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I had never in my life believed that Jesus died for Willie Bird.
That's right.
Until that day.
Lord, that's right.
And man, I tell you what, I looked at that and God's Spirit, man, moved in my soul and illuminated my thinking that Jesus tasted death for Willie Bird.
Yes, sir, he did.
And I looked at that man and I was moved and had all these emotions building up in my spirit. And I said, that is what you asked me. Then I thought about it for about 30 seconds. And then I resolved, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I said, yeah. He said, you really believe that, Willie? I said, yeah. You see, when I believe something, I don't have to turn flips to convince you.
That's right. Amen.
I believe it. I don't believe it. I believe it. I said, yeah. And he said, you really believe that? He asked me the third time. I thought he was politely calling me a liar. You want to fight me? Call me a liar. I ain't scared of you. What, man? Let's go. Come on.
Go ahead and reach it.
Let's go, man. You what? I'll pop you. Right.
That's good.
I said, man, what's the matter? You think I'm lying or something? He said, Willie, don't get defensive. He says, I was just making sure that you believe that Jesus died for you. And I did this. I said, I know he died for me. I know whom I believed.
That's good.
Amen. And then he said, if you really believe that. Now, I didn't say this, but I was thinking. I said, man, what's it going to take? I know what I believe. He takes him over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. And we get to verse 13. The Holy Spirit of God moved me to the core of my soul.
Amen.
And I understood for the first time what the significance of Jesus Christ's death on the cross meant. My eyes welled up with tears. My heart was lifted with joy. It was like a weight of sin lifted off of me.
Amen.
The moment that I believed, the Bible says, in whom you believe, Ephesians 1:13,
yes, sir.
You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Before I prayed any prayer, you're not saved by no prayer.
That's right.
You're saved by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Man, I believed on Jesus Christ. And I read that, and he said, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen, I'm a believer.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I looked at that man, and the Holy Spirit of God gave me some good doctrine.
Yes, sir,
he gave me eternal security right then and there. Because what kept going through my mind is that no way Jesus Christ could come back and undie. It was a done deal, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Paul Mayfield says, what has God given you when you believe on Jesus Christ? I said, I hope heaven. He says, hope. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that you may, K-N-O-W, that you may know. God saved my soul. I says, everybody needs to understand this, Paul. He says, you're right, Willie. I said, no, man, you don't understand. I said, everybody needs to know this, man. And Mike Kelly, I don't know if you know Brother Mike Kelly. He's with Rock of Ages, man. He was one of the first persons that came to my mind. We tried to play together in a soul band. Another story. But man, Mike Kelly came to my mind. All my childhood friends came to my mind. My nuns, my mama, my family came to my mind. I said, man, they need to get saved, and I'm going to go tell them. But you know something? I'm going to tell you something about our God. Our God wants folks to hear the gospel.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, there's a being here, maybe right in here right now. See, he can come on through walls. His name is Satan. And I'm going to tell you something. He don't want people to hear it. He don't want you to hear it. If you're lost this morning, he wants you to stay lost. But I tell you, there's one who loved you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My Bible tells me, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and I got to move quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, my Bible tells me that if our gospel, in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
That's right.
In whom the god of this world, that is Satan, had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Did you get that? Who believe not.
Yeah.
You see, you get saved by your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Pastor Dawson, a lot of folks pray a prayer and they're just as lost as they could be. God don't save you because you ask him to. God saves you because you believe on his Son. Amen. You can ask God, God, please save me. God, please save me. God said, well, believe on my Son.
Amen. There you go.
You believe on my Son, I'll save you.
That's right.
You believe on my Son, you even got to ask me. But if you believe in my Son, according to Romans chapter 10, it says, let's go there real quick, and then I'm going to talk about why our gospel is hidden. Go to Romans chapter 10. Are you there? Not yet, huh? Okay, let's move there. Romans chapter number 10. And Brother Doss, my watch is all messed up. It's an hour ahead, but I ain't quitting. So Okay, Romans chapter 10. All right, Romans chapter 10. Guys, let me hear those pages turning, okay? Some of you got those electronic Bibles. All right. Then when you flip to it, you do rip, rip. So I know you're turning, okay? I can hear this, but I can't hear that. I can't hear when you swipe, I can't hear that. Okay. So just go rip, 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 there. Okay. All right. Here, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Notice. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, get this, and what? And believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, get this, for with the heart man asketh. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, get this, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What this is saying is that when you believe, doesn't it go on to say, for the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed?
That's right.
What happened is when you believe on Jesus Christ, you become just like I was. You know it in your heart. Amen. You can't believe on Christ and not know it. You believe on Jesus Christ, you know it. It's in your soul. It's in your being. It's in you. Amen. Yeah. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You got to receive him. Amen. So what happens is, when you believe, you have no problem confessing with the mouth.
Yeah.
That's what that means. These closet Christians, I'm a Christian, but I don't let nobody know about it.
Yes,
man,
sir.
You need to get saved. Man, you get saved, you want to tell somebody else. You want to tell somebody else.
Yes, sir.
For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Not to get it, unto the salvation you already have by placing your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 And man, you get saved, it'll change your life. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ,
right.
He's a new creature. I didn't have no homiletic course that morning. I didn't have no discipleship course that morning. I got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
I got saved and I had a burden instantly for my family.
Yes, sir.
It dawned on me, I said, my wife needs to get saved. And I whispered a prayer. I was 30 seconds older than the Lord. I said, Lord, please save my wife. Did not realize my wife was over in the ladies' change room with pastor's wife, Mrs. Niemeyer, getting saved.
Amen.
Man, I came out of that office a changed man. I made it through the congregation. Where's my wife? Saw my wife. The white parts of her eyes were red like she had been crying. I said, Patricia, you've been crying? She says, yeah. I said, did you get saved? She says, yeah, man, I almost came through my skin. Man, my wife is saved now. I said, honey, we got to pray for Marcus. Marcus was 3 years old.
Yeah.
I said, we got to pray for Marcus to get saved. Man, when he got 6 years old on a Monday, Marcus got saved, man. I got a phone call. I was in my office. I got that phone call. Dad, I just trusted Jesus as my Savior. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
He said, Pastor Stokes, I need to get baptized. I say, amen. That's the first step of obedience.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Been seeing my mom and dad. I led my mom to the Lord on the 10th of August, 1978. Talked to her for 177 minutes, long distance from California to Florida. Cost me $65. Back then, $65 was a lot of money.
Oh,
especially for a telephone call. But it was worth every penny because my mom got saved. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is our gospel? It's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins and his glorious resurrection for our justification and life. What does it do for us? It saves our soul from a place called hell. Amen. It liberates us. The Bible says the grace of God, it teaches us to deny ungodly lusts. You know, when you have the real grace of God, you'll want to do better. Amen. These folks that call themselves, they get saved and they never see them in church. Something wrong with that picture.
Right.
The Bible says, as newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Man, you couldn't keep me from church after that. Before, I had a problem tithing. I had a problem even putting a quarter in the church.
Oh. Amen.
My wife and I would have an argument in Tucson, Arizona. Going to that church, she said, honey, we ought to put some money in the plate. I was like, for what? I got real spiritual and put in a quarter. She said, we need to put in more than that. I said, hey, I ain't putting in not a penny more. I got saved. Now I'm about ready to get my paycheck. My wife said, honey, you need to get that saved. I want you to get saved, but not that saved. Man, I found out about missions. I found out a guy was going to, Brother Corona was going to Africa. Just because I'm black don't mean I want to go to Africa now.
Amen.
You can go. You ain't got to be black to go. Amen. But if somebody else wants to go, yeah, I'll help you. How much you need? I'm going to Charlotte. Man, I got saved. I started tithing. We've been tithing for 38 years. We've been giving to the building program. We've been giving to missions for 38 years. Above our tithe, man, I tell you what, I ain't broke. I mean, do I look like I'm broke? No, you don't get that free. You got to put something in there. With this glorious gospel, we know that it's the power of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. We know that the gospel still works.
Right.
Amen. The gospel still works. The gospel still saves people. But if our gospel be what?
Hid.
If our gospel be hid, why is the gospel hid? Let me tell you, the number one reason why the gospel is hid is because the god of this world,
amen,
Satan. Yes. Now, bear with me just for a little bit. I'm on my last point here. Why is it hidden? You see, my Bible tells me, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds. Why is the gospel hidden? Let me tell you something. If you have the gospel, let's go back to this that passage of scripture. There in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want you to look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. My Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want you to know, if you're saved this morning, if you're saved this morning, you have a treasure in you. It's called eternal life. You can't give it out. You will never run out of it. I don't care how much you give the gospel out, you won't be shortchanged. It's a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That means if you're saved this morning, you know something that other people need to know. You have what works. You have that it will save you and take you to heaven, but it'll change your life down here on earth.
Amen.
The real gospel does that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
That's right.
But why is it hidden? It is hidden because of Satan. Now, listen to me this morning. If you are a child of God, I want to let you know something about Satan. Number one, he hates you.
Yes, sir, he does.
Don't let him trick you to saying that we are friends.
That's right.
He hates you.
That's right, brother.
And he wants to destroy you.
Yes, sir, he does.
He does. And the only reason he hasn't destroyed you is because God's got his protective angels around you. Amen. But hey, don't make no mistakes. If he can, he will take you to hell. If you're lost. If you're saved, he wants you to live like you're going to hell.
That's right.
The god of this world has done what? He's blinded their eyes. I'm going to give you a couple other passages of scripture, and I just want you to listen. The devil has devices. If our gospel be hid, I'm going to tell you something. The devil is good at what he does. He's so good that he's got God's people hoodwinked. He's got God's people divided. He's got God's people not cooperating with one another. He's good at it.
Yes, sir, he is.
If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the god of this world has blinded them. Now, the devil, go to Matthew chapter 13 real quick. I'm going to talk to those of you that may not be saved right now. If you're not saved right now, you know what the devil wants for you? He wants you to stay lost. In Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable of the sower. And the Bible talks about a sower went forth to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside. Right? Notice here, in Matthew chapter 13, and verse 4. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 4. The Bible says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, And guess who showed up? And the fowls came and devoured them. Later on, Jesus gives the interpretation of who the fowls are. It calls the fowls is that wicked one. And then you can look at this parable. Jot this down. Here's a reference. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. It records the same account. And you got to read all three of these to get the full picture of what's going on there. Because one of these places, they say the seed is the word of God. And then it talks about the fruit of them. Those who are fruitful is salvation. And the ones who don't grow, those are the ones who are lost. And you can read that in your own study. But we had the sower went forth to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside. And notice here it says, and here's the interpretation in the Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh whom? The wicked one." That's talking about the devil. "And he catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." I want to say this morning, listen, if you're not saved, if you're not 100% sure that when you die you're going to go to heaven, if you're not 100% sure that you're saved right now, that's probably means that you're lost. All right? Probably means that you're lost. You see, if you know whom you believed, you see, whom you believe doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. And if he saved you, you're still saved. Some folks, well, I'm saved right now, but 10 years from now, I don't know if I'm saved. You see, if you got the right Savior, you're still saved. If you got the right Savior, you're still saved. But if you're around here thinking about, oh, well, I might do something wrong. See, your salvation is not on Jesus. Your salvation is on self. But at any rate, I want to say this morning is if you're lost right now, the devil, he will bring things into your mind to take you away from what's being said, lest you should believe and be saved. I'm so thankful for those of you who pray before the services when Pastor Dawson gets up and preach, because as he's preaching, you can rest assured there are forces at work.
Yes,
Pastor Dawson, every time we lay down the word of God, there's always a bird, not a willy bird, but there's always a fowl there trying to catch up the word. We call it rationalization. We call it justification. People are justified the way they are. They're rational the way what's been said. That's nothing more than the devil.
That's right.
A lot of time when you hear some preaching going on, and then you elbow somebody else, that's the devil.
Yep.
Because in that little elbow, you're saying, see, you needed to hear that.
Amen.
You needed to hear that. I'm so glad you came to church. You needed to hear that.
Amen.
God said, you needed to hear it.
Amen.
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 These people that have that throwback Christianity. Oh, good preaching. So-and-so needs that. Oh, that was a good point.
Amen.
Joe needs that. But what do you need? You see, the devil always has a way to try to catch away the word that's being sown. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that's lost. What's the devil's at work? And what he's trying to do, he's trying to continue to distract the non-believer so he would or she would not hear the word of God, get faith, and then trust Christ as Savior. But now, if our gospel be hid, I'm going to tell you, the devil's at work. He's at work on Christians. Several things he does to Christian, and we'll quit.
That's good.
He deceives the Christian.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He gets the Christian to begin to have the wrong priorities in his or her life. You know, Paul says this. What does Paul say? Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. Paul says over there in 1 Thessalonians, he said that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But unto him that died for them and rose again from the dead. He says, you know something? From henceforth, we're supposed to be living for Jesus.
Amen.
When we work, does it translate over to Jesus?
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, whether it be eat or drink,
right. Do
all to the glory of God.
Oh, that's right.
Amen. And my Bible tells me that God is glorified when we bear much fruit. John chapter 15. What does the devil do? He deceives Christians into thinking that there are other things more important than God.
That's right.
That's why church is not a priority for some folks who name the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why tithing is not a priority. In my house, the first person that gets paid is God. Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
You know something? I'm going to visit because I ain't get enough amens. See, I know there are three M's that I can mess with you with.
Yeah.
Music, movies, and money.
Yes, sir.
When you start talking about those three things, man, folks. I'm ready to go now. Start talking about this money.
Yes, sir.
Folks, I'm shutting it down, tuning off. See, I was lost thinking that way. I'm saved now. I can talk about money.
Preach it.
You know something? Satan tricks us to thinking that it's okay to put God last.
That's right, he does.
Satan tricks us to think it's okay to put God second.
Uh-huh.
God says, listen, I'm used to being first.
Yes, sir.
In heaven, man, things are done right.
Amen.
You tell those angels to sing, they don't say, I don't feel like it today. Man, those seraphims up there, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts.
That's right,
aren't you tired of saying that? You've been saying that for 6,000 years. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. I like singing it. I like saying it. When it comes to having a priority, God ought to be the number one priority in your life. He ought to be. If nobody else gets paid in our home, God will get paid.
Amen.
Because we pay him first. And it's amazing. God makes sure I'm able to pay everybody else.
That's right.
That's right, brother. That's right.
I don't put God on the answer, God, if I got anything left over. No, I'll pay God first. You know, so I figured out something.
Mm-hmm.
If I get in trouble with my mortgage company, I can file bankruptcy.
Uh-huh.
I can't do that with God.
Preach it.
God, you understand, don't you? No, I don't. 10% is 10%.
Yeah, that's right.
But Lord, see, pay me.
Yeah, that's right.
Will a man rob God?
Yes.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yes, sir, they do.
Payday Sunday coming one day, but that's a different message, Pastor.
Amen.
I had to have a little fun.
Yes, sir, we are.
What I'm saying is the devil will distract you. That's another D. He deceives you and he distracts you. Yep. Have you chasing after the American dream? Have you chasing after money? And don't you know the Bible says we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can't carry anything out? The Bible says that money has a way of making wings and flying off.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. You can try to take money on the other side. It won't work. They don't use dollars in heaven.
That's right.
Amen. The best thing you do is put it at a good exchange rate,
yeah,
100-fold,
uh-huh,
put it into your local church, and it can get exchanged to some spiritual stuff, and you can put that in heaven. Amen. That's a good, that's some good stuff. But what he does, he distracts Christians with Christians won't give so that the work of God will go forward, so that mission won't go forward. For this work, don't you know, I thank God for what has been done thus far.
Amen.
Here. It's amazing.
That's right.
You know, but still work to be done.
There's
still stuff to get done here, and it's going to take all of God's people giving towards that to make it happen.
Amen.
I'm just saying, this is the devil. Yep. The reason that we don't have as many missionaries on the field is because there's not enough money.
That's right.
Thank God. Thank the good Lord. You're working towards it. Amen. You got to go.
Amen.
You're hammering away at it for your missions. Amen.
Amen.
Keep at it. Hit that goal, exceed that goal. Get some more missionaries on the field. But anyway, I'm just talking with the God of this world. He's deceived Christians. He's distracted Christians. Christians are not even reading their Bibles. Christians are not even praying. Christians are not even witnessing to people and telling them of the grace of God. Listen, only way people are going to hear, I'm going to give you one last scripture, then we'll close. The devil divides. The devil discourages. The devil distorts. I mean, Christians are so divisive. I mean, here it is. You try to do something for God. I mean, Pastor Dawson said, let's do this for the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Some people will say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. So don't count me in on it. I don't think the devils do that. I don't think the devils do that at all. I think if a demon comes up and says, you know something, let's tear down shining light. And then another demon says, well, how are you going to do it? Well, I got this plan. Are you in with me? He said, yeah, count me in. He went and said, well, I got a different way. No, they'll join in. It's amazing how Satan forces join in and tears up the church, but then the church can't cooperate. Man, I tell you, I got so much to say. But my soul, the devil divides, he discourages, and he uses distortion, and he just shuts Christians down. That's why our gospel will be here. Last scripture I'm give. Romans. I love the Lord this morning. I hope you do. You know, if you really love the Lord, the Bible doesn't offend you. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend in them. In Romans chapter 10, and we quit. I'm sorry for keeping you this long, but let me just get it on out. I didn't come this far now. You're already mad, so let's, it ain't going to matter now. So I can't redeem myself, so I might as well go and finish. Romans chapter 10,
yes, sir.
Listen to what the Bible says. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that what the Bible says? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then should they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach except they be sent? God's got a plan for reaching man. His plan is this. He saves somebody who was once lost. He sends them out. They give the gospel message. A person hears. If they believe, they call. If they don't believe, they don't call. But how can they believe if they never heard it? Somebody's got to tell them. And that's why our gospel is hid. Because those of us who know don't go and tell. When was the last time you shared your testimony? How you got saved? I've never gotten over my salvation. If you talk with me, if you sit down, I don't care who it is, where we are, what we're talking about, within five minutes, you're going to know how Willie Burr got saved. I can't help it. I can't help it.
Amen.
I mean, I'm excited about my salvation. It happened to me. Amen. Amen. They said, how do you know that you got saved? I said, I was there when it happened.
Amen.
I was right there. I don't have to fabricate nothing. I can tell you what I was thinking before and after. I can tell you how I was before and after. If you're around me for 5 minutes, I cannot happen. We can start talking about golf. We can start talking about basketball. Yes. We can talk about fishing, and I love fishing. But I tell you what, I love being saved.
Amen.
And one of the reasons why the gospel is being hid is because those of us who have the gospel, the devil's got us so distracted that we don't give it. You could tell your testimony to someone before the day is over. But you can't tell a testimony if you don't have one. Do you have a testimony? I mean, if I was to just point over here and say, you, do you have a testimony? Would you go, I don't want to say it. I'm a closet Christian. Man, I tell you what, give me a chance. Give me an opportunity. You ain't got to give me an opportunity. I'm going to take it. I'm going to tell you how I got saved. So you already know how I got saved. Amen. If our gospel be here, it's here to them that's lost. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you for being patient. Thank you, Pastor Dawson, for being patient. I had to get the message out, my brother, in church. Thank you for being patient and listening. Listen to me this morning. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The gospel changes people's lives. It changes your destination. It changes your daddy. It changes your desire. It changes your duty. I'm serious about being saved. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you saved this morning? The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? You said, Pastor Bird, that's me. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. Would you hold your hand up? Would you just thank the Lord? You got your hand up. Amen. Thank the Lord for saving you. Amen. All right, you can put your hands down. There's some honest people here this morning. You didn't raise your hand just now because maybe the real truth is you're not sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. My question is, don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to go to heaven? You said, Pastor Bird, I don't know if I want to go to heaven or not. I tell you what. You want to go to hell, just do nothing. Just do nothing. You'll get there. But if you want to go to heaven, you must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says once you believe that, confession is made with the mouth unto the salvation you already have inside. In a few moments, I'm going to turn the invitation over to Pastor Dawson. If you're not sure that when you die you're going to go to heaven, and you want to go to heaven, he's going to be conducting the invitation. I'm sure he has some qualified men and women here who can take you off in private and show you from God's word how you can know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. And then you'll have a testimony. And then you can say, I can tell you how I got saved, where I was sitting when I got saved. I was in Shining Light Baptist Church on August 9th, a Sunday morning. A black crazy man was preaching. And then I came to know Jesus as my Savior. I was right there. You come forward and he'll direct someone to you and take you off in private and show you from the word of God how you can know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Amen. In a few moments, I don't know how you do your invitation here, Christians. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, maybe you have been negligent in telling folks about the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves souls. Amen. Maybe you hadn't told your testimony in a long time. You might want to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord God, give me the strength, the courage, and the wherewithal Amen. To tell folks how I got saved and to tell them how to be saved. It says about and eyes are closed. You come as God directs. Let us stand to our feet. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are closed. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, you can come to an old-fashioned altar and let your life be altered for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you slip on out and come? Pastor Dawson will be taking over in a few moments. Would you come?
As invitation is being played and sang, where are you at today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Well, today, friend, he loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave that Son, Jesus Christ, for you, that you can be saved today. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, maybe you need to come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll get a man to show you how you can be saved. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to show you how you can be saved. But God is wanting people to be saved. The Holy Spirit is moving in people's lives and nudging you. Say, preacher, I've got a question. I don't know if I am saved. And why don't you let us help you with that question? Why don't you let us help you get it solved? Let me also add this. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Has the Satan distracted you in some way, shape, fashion, or form? Has he gotten you off track? He mentioned he deceives, and he's good at deceiving. He divides, he discourages, he distorts, he's divisive. And he's very good at it. Don't let him hide your testimony. Let it shine. Let it show. Let others know that you serve a risen Savior. What is our gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I encourage you to slip out from where you're at. Let's take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Nothing greater than knowing that Christ is my Savior. And heaven is my home. It changes lives. You all know my testimony, similar to Brother Bird. My wife and I got saved the same day. And I knew right off the bat something was different in my life. I was changed. I was not the same. And I wasn't going back. And God made a difference. But if we're honest, there are occasions when our gospel is hid. And those are the things that we need to work on. Letting others see it. Giving a track. Giving a witness. Giving a testimony of how good God is. Our Father, thank you for having the opportunity to hear the Word of God once again. Thank you for the blessed truth, the Word of God, and how Paul was consistently teaching and preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek, knowing that a person must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they can be saved. Lord, help us to leave here today knowing that we've been under the sound of the gospel. And everybody in this room is either saved or lost. They're going to heaven or they're going to hell. They're going to one of two places. There is no in between. There is no purgatory. There is no purging time. Lord, I pray that those that are under the sound of my voice would understand the love of God and the lengths that God, you've gone through to save mankind. Giving heaven's best, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world. We've got to personalize that, though, and say, he died for me because I was lost and on my way to hell. And Lord, help that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl that's hanging in the balance now to choose Jesus Christ. To not choose is already a choice for hell. And so I pray that, Lord, you would move about this auditorium, press it upon that man, woman, boy, or girl, not to leave this auditorium without getting it settled. I'm pulling one of us to the side and asking, what must I do to be saved? And then doing business with thee. Yeah. Thank you for the Christians that are represented here. Lord, help us to leave out with a boldness, a Holy Spirit boldness that goes along with a saved life. And knowing that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And help us go out with that vigor, that excitement, taking it to our workplaces, our schools, any place that we can bear witness of the testimony of God. Help us to be able to bear that witness throughout this week and see light shed upon this community. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Give us a great afternoon and meet with us back again when we come to praise your name once again at the 5 o'clock hour. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.